produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day. My name is Mutale Kalenga, coming to you from Johannesburg, South Africa, the city of God. Your program is One Soul at a Time for Jesus, broadcasting on SKM Radio Network, produced by Mercedes Kotu. It gives me a great pleasure to talk to you about Jesus Christ and His kingdom today. To all our listeners who are loved by God and created in His image and His likeness to be His holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Our program today is about the fellowship with other believers is essential. Fellowship with other believers is essential. The value of regular fellowship with the believers in Jesus Christ is emphasized in the following scripture. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. The hope we profess is described by Apostle Peter at some length as follows. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with great care trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not saving themselves, but you. When you spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope of the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 16. So the hope we profess is a gift from a merciful God who has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Please note that the hope we profess is a living hope. In other words, it is hope with life. Secondly, the hope we profess is one which we must always be prepared to give an answer for to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have. The only proviso for the defense of the hope we profess is that we must do it with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against our good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Apostle Peter put it this way: who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. This is why in verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10, in particular, we are urged not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Fellowship with fellow believers provides opportunities to know and understand each other so that we can encourage one another, particularly as the day of the second coming of our Lord is approaching. Fellowship with fellow believers is the lifeline of a vibrant community of those who share a common destiny in Jesus Christ. Fellowship with fellow believers also encourages us not to fear the threats of those who unfairly attack the hope we profess. Fellowship with fellow believers encourages us not to be frightened, but in our hearts to give reverence to Christ as our Lord. In the company of fellow believers, we would always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have. The company of fellow believers would also assist us to defend the hope we profess with gentleness and respect, maintaining a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against our good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Together with other believers, we would learn that it's better, and it is indeed God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So you see that meeting with fellow believers, sharing His word, praying together with fellow believers, assisting those around us who are in need, is good for those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It strengthens us, and it makes us not to be isolated from those who share the same faith as we do, those that we share a common destiny in the faith that we have in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is why we should strive at all times to fellowship one with another. We should strive to meet with fellow believers so that in their company our faith is strengthened and our conduct is patterned after the word of God, because fellow believers have our interests at their heart. Fellow believers are interested in our growth in the things of God, and fellow believers are interested in our prosperity in God's goodness. It is so important that we appreciate the fact that we must be able to meet with fellow believers as often as possible. And that is why, for instance, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we are told that those first believers committed themselves to prayer, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship one with another, and to prayer. It is because of this. At the very beginning, when the message was preached by Peter on the day of Pentecost, fellowship was a mark of those who first believed. They came together and they were committed to coming together. They were committed to sharing together, and they were committed to praying together, going before their Father in heaven, kneeling on their knees and asking and speaking to their Father in heaven. remembering what the Lord Jesus Christ had performed on the cross of Calvary when he died, where his body was broken and his blood was spilled, the blood that washes us from all our sins, the blood that cleanses us from all our righteousness. We have these emblems of the breaking of bread. And that is why the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the believers at Corinth, he told them that they must do this as often as possible so that they can be able to meet and reflect on what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for us almost 2,000 years ago. It is very important to do that. And we must be able to fellowship one with another, because as we gather together in fellowship, we are able to share some of the life's challenges that each believer is facing, so that we can pray, we can go before the Father, knowing very well that we are praying about something that has been shared to us by those whom we share the same faith with. Fellowship makes us to know each other and to understand each other's strengths and weaknesses. Fellowship makes us identify those that the Holy Spirit is deploying to perform specific functions in the body of Christ. And as we fellowship together, we are able to encourage them. Those that go out to do missionary work, as an example, we are able to support them in missionary work with everything they require, both in terms of spiritual things, spiritual support, as well as material support, so that they are well resourced to go and declare the whole counsel of God and to ensure that those that need to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ are given that opportunity to hear, and the Holy Spirit would then convict them so that they can be able to confess their sins and repent and receive the salvation that we have also received. All these things happen in fellowship. This is why we have said today that fellowship with other believers is essential. It is something that believers must do as often as possible. Fellowship with other believers exposes us to other believers, to know them, not just by name, but to know them by character, to know their strengths, to know their weaknesses, to know those that are struggling in life, to know those that are lacking in certain things, like material needs in their home, to know those that are going through hunger, as an example, or those that are being persecuted, as another example, those that are facing life challenges with the children which they are bringing up. As you know, the Holy Bible tells us that we must expose our children to godly upbringing. But as the children grow up, they also acquire certain behaviors that are contrary to the Word of God. And families that have challenges with their children that are deviating from God's word, do not fall into depression on their own. They can come and they can fellowship with us, and we can be able to share. And those whom the Holy Spirit lead can then speak to those children prayerfully and with diligence and firmly, and to tell them and to show them that their behavior is causing much pain to their believing parents. That way, we can be able to manage our families. There are also certain things that we face in our families between a husband and a wife. There might be difficulties that the couple is facing, and they don't know how to handle those particular difficulties they are facing. They could be challenges to do with money, as an example, and how it is expended in a particular home. Or there could be challenges that are imposed upon them by members of their families. As you know, certain members of the families like to interfere into marriage relationships of other believers. In fellowship, believers can then be free to share about these difficult challenges that they are facing, so that together we can then kneel down and pray that Satan does not overcome them and they are not overcome by grief. We can be able to bring before our loving God those believers that are facing these challenges and ask God in all earnestness, knowing fully well that our Father loves us and He wants us to live a life that is prosperous, a life that is victorious, but a life that honors Him, a life that gives reverence to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for us. And fellowship doesn't just mean that you fellowship with only those people that attend the same congregation as you do. You fellowship with other believers, believers from other congregations, so that they too can be able to learn about what your congregation is being strengthened about, and you can be able to share a testimony that can be used in another congregation to strengthen other people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that our testimony, all of us collectively, although we do not belong to the same congregation, begins to reflect the favor and the flavor of the God whom we worship, our Heavenly Father who is in heaven. Unfortunately, in the life that we live now, Satan has so separated us, and we have been divided into things that we call denominations, and there is very little communication between one denomination and another. And even within each denomination, sometimes there would be different congregations. For instance, within the same denominations, there are those congregations where people are well endowed with worldly riches and they meet together. But there are also other congregations where the believers are not so endowed with worldly riches. They are poor. We can be able to find out which congregations has got people that are poor and which congregations have got people that are endowed with worldly blessings by God, and we can be able to assist each other. That way, we are living as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are able to share the things that God has given to us according to the needs that we identify among our believers. All these things are possible through fellowship. All these things are possible through the partnership that we share by coming together, congregating together as often as possible, and finding means and ways of speaking a language that builds other people in the things of God, a language that is gracious. We can also come in fellowship so that we do not gossip about one another's problems and laugh and jeer each other as we move through life's difficulties. All this is possible through fellowship. So you see, fellowship is important. Fellowship is key to our life as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellowship is crucial to our executing the mandate that the Lord Jesus Christ left us with when he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." To make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All that work can be done in fellowship. The Lord Jesus Christ had given that particular instruction to his disciples because he wanted them to be fellowshipping together. And that's why the disciples with the Lord Jesus Christ often met over a meal and they ate and they prayed and they discovered each other's weaknesses and they strengthened each other. That was possible in fellowship. And that is why, as we have alluded to, the first believers, after Peter preached that powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost, they devoted themselves to those four things. They devoted themselves to prayer, praying before the Almighty God. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, remembering what Jesus had done. They devoted themselves to fellowship, and they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ had done when he died for us on the cross of Calvary. That fellowship is key. That fellowship is important. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, highlights the importance of fellowship. In the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot be lone rangers. We have to live a life with others. We have to share our life with others. We have to be in partnership with others who share the same faith as we do and who are blessed in the same way that we are blessed. As we learn these key life lessons in the company of our fellow believers, we would be in a better position to replicate them even when we are alone. Thus, meet as often as possible, not just once a week for worship service. Find time and create opportunities to meet and encourage one another over a meal, over a cup of tea or coffee, a sports activity, etc. It is so critical that believers interact with one another often and informally. You will find that your prayer life will be enhanced as you will be praying over real issues and challenges that believers encounter in everyday life. You will also discover that your hunger for God's word will grow as you will be forced to seek God's guidance to address each other's challenges. That concludes our program for the day. My name is Mutale Kalenga, coming to you from Johannesburg, South Africa. The program was One Soul at a Time for Jesus. See you next time, God willing, at the same time on your radio station, SKM Radio, at your network. Bye, and have a blessed week ahead of you as we strive to continue to obey God's will in 2019 by God's wonderful and amazing grace.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Ngiyanibingelela bazalwane, nzambame egameni leNkosi Jesu. Bingelela ngibheka amabuzo asikhondise Nkosi. Ngikubingelela ngisembabane eSwatini. Ngiyakwemukela eluhlelweni lithemba lelingcono, a better hope. Asithandaze babelo incwele, siyabonga kusihlwa egameni la Jesu umsa lo sendela wona. Seta wabalifu lakho, ngilekelele babe. Bengakimi ngifuma kuphambe kodami ngaphandle kwakho kangisilutho. Ngiyanxusa babe moya wakho loyincwele. Lothembisile ngaye ukuthi uyawusicondzisa kulo lonke liciniso akabe nami. Abe nemlaleli ukucondzisisa lokuthi imfihlakalo. Delive lakho. Thandaza babe. Sendele umusa kulesikhathi wendele buhle belibito la Jesu. Amen.
Brethren, we are going to continue from where we ended last week. We are in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse number 36. It says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption." We dealt with this matter extensively. We shall continue today by considering why we should serve our own generation. We should serve our own generation because it is the will of God. We should save our generation because God promises that He is going to reward us. It should be our mission on earth to use whatever opportunity we have to serve our own generation. It is also the source and standard which is the will of God that we should serve our own generation. Let us today begin by considering Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, and see what God instructs us in this very, very important subject. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15 and 16. The Bible reads thus. that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. My brother and sister, we should serve our generation by living a blameless life, by being harmless, by being children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom we shine as lights in the world. Imagine, my brother and sister, if you, as a parent, as a father, as a mother, you could serve your children by being blameless, that your own household can give testimony and say, my father, my mother lived a blameless life. To say, my parents were harmless in a perverse generation where people are raping their own daughters, where mothers are molesting their own sons, where the divorce rate is alarming, where con men are so common, where people are so corrupt in government institutions. Now imagine if you and I would serve our generation by being blameless and harmless. You know, when you read from verse number 12, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do. For his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. It is an undisputed reality, my brother and sister, that this generation is perverse, that this generation is crooked. And we are being called upon by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, that we become blameless, that we become harmless. As people, wherever you are working, abuse the resources of the company, as people live anyhow, may we become blameless. May we become harmless. As people abuse state resources, those who are in government, as people abuse resources at work,
May we serve our generation by being blameless and harmless. As people get their way through bribes, may we serve our generation by being blameless and harmless. As people murder, may we become blameless and harmless. Are you a principal in a school? How is your selection process? Are you in the HR department? How is the selection process? Are you in procurement? How do the people get to have their things bought? Are you blameless and harmless? The word of God is calling upon you to serve your generation by being blameless and harmless in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The Bible, the Apostle Paul says, so holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may also be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Hey, my brother and sister, look at this testimony. Paul says of Timothy, this Timothy served with me in the gospel. Hey, my brother, he says he wants to be encouraged when he gets to hear about their state. My brother and sister, if we can hear about your dealings, can we feel encouraged? I plead with you by the mercies of God. Eesh, my brother and sister. For David served his own generation by the will of God. How I wish that you and I can excel in this area. Now, let me say this. Serving your generation does not mean to be a slave to it. Serving your generation does not mean you become a coward. But it is to maintain true religion. It is to stand for the faith. Serving your generation is not a single occasion. It is lifelong.
Serving your generation means providing for the next generation, so that people can have an example to follow. My brother and sister, let us look at other verses. As we continue with this matter, Matthew chapter 10, verse number 16. The Bible says, where we have just read, we should shine as light. Now let's hear what Christ says in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 16. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Eesh, my brother and sister, this is the generation we are in. We need to be wise and we need to be harmless as doves. When we read again Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14, the Bible says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Serving your generation calls upon you and I to be the light of the world. This crooked and perverse generation needs people who shall give light, who shall give hope, who shall give direction. Therefore, let us heed to the message of Christ, who says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That is what serving is. In verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Let us serve our generation by being that light. This world is hungry for that, to see light. My brother and sister, we have to serve this generation by showing holy conduct. That is patterned after the likeness of Christ. We must be like the sun and the moon in this world that is so perverse and crooked. In the book of Ephesians, Paul challenges the church at Ephesus on this very, very important issue. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." My brother and sister, let us serve this generation by the manner in which we walk. Let us walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Because this generation is perverse and crooked. There is a need for people who will draw the line. Let's consider Romans chapter number 16, verse number 19. It says, for your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Look at these words. Your obedience has become known to all. You can serve this generation by being so obedient to Christ that it be known to all. Not because you want your own glory. Not because you are looking for popularity. No, doing it that your obedience may become known to all. He continues to say, therefore I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good. This is also my wish for myself and for you, that we may become wise in what is good. And simple concerning evil. My brother and sister, this is profound. This is important. Let us wrap this even to our children, that they become wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Romans chapter 1 verse 8 says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. My brother, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So as a Christian, you can't say you don't care what people say. No, you can't say that. People have a say. People are observing. Paul says about these brethren at Rome, he thanks God through Jesus Christ that their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. We can serve this generation, my brother and sister, by having faith such that our faith is spoken of, if not in the whole world, at least in your village, at least in your family, at least at your work, at least at your school, at least in your neighborhood. Let your faith be spoken about. Let somebody say, I thank God through Jesus Christ that your faith is known. You don't need money to serve God in this manner. You don't need to be laid the laying of hands to serve God in this manner. You need to resolve. He continues to say in verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. My brother and sister, you can serve this generation by making mention of your brethren in your prayers. my brother and sister. I desire this. Ish, my brother and sister.
David served God in his generation. Served his generation by the will of God.
When you are gone, can a testimony be given about you that you served God in your own generation? I challenge you, my brother and sister, by God's mercies, let us serve this generation, because it is cruel, crooked, and perverse. Let us be the light that shines. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you. I come before you by God's mercies. I thank you, Lord, for this privilege that you have given us today to speak your word. I pray that you may help me, that you may help the listener at this time and at this generation, that we may serve you as David did, that it may be recorded in heaven. And even with our own children and families, that during our time we served our generation by being the light that shines. This we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Geliefdes, ek verwelkom u vandag op die radiostasie Simikoto Ministries. En dis ek, Pastor Dave Johnson, rechtstreeks vanaf Kimberley in Suid-Afrika, en die luister na die program Kijk na God, wat geproduceerd is dier Masidi Skotto. Vandag, luisteraars, wil ek so graag, jy weet, praat van Jesus. Ons sê baie kere, as hy beginne mense leer, nee, wanneer hy beginne sit met die mense, en dan het hy om disciples, ja, om disciples wat hy met hulle gewerk het, het hy vir hulle baie geleer in vergelykings. Nee. Hier is so graag een wat ek wil hê ons moet oorgesels, en ek wil hê ons moet mooi gaan sit en kyk, waarom het Christus eintlik sulke goed vir ons gesê, of sy disciples gesê, sodat ons het nog ook vandag kan het. Nee. Voor ons gaan begin, kom ons bid net gauw saam. Kom ons bid saam. Kom ons buig ons hoofde en dan sê ons Hemelse Vader, ons dankie weens vandag dat u vir ons by mekaar getrek het. Ons sê baie dankie Hemelse Vader dat u vandag ons koning is, dat u ons lig is, dat u vir ons lei elke dag van ons lewe. Ons is bly dat ons nog geseën is vandag om nog steeds kan tussen die lewendes te kan wees. Dit is 'n voorreg, voorreg vir ons vandag om te kan die liefde aanvaar wat U vir ons het en dat ons nog bevoorreg is om nog steeds ons sak te kan regmaak met U, sodat ons ook aan die hemelpoort kan sien. Want baie gaan staan en klop en baie gaan skree aan U, maar dan sal hulle nie die koninkryk kan sien nie. Maar ons het nog steeds 'n kansie vandag om ons paie reg te kan maak met U. Deen sê ons baie dankie. En ons sê dankie vir die brood wat U vir ons kan gee. Dankie vir die klere wat ons nog steeds kan dra. En ons sê dankie dat ons oë ook oop is. Dat ons kan sien. Dat ons kan verskei tussen die regte ware manne van God. En hierdie wat in die skapklere kom. Wolwe wat in die skapklere kom. Sê ons nog steeds baie dankie vir U. Want daar is so baie kinderse vandag wat verlei word. Hierdie wat die U stem ken nie. Hierdie wat ook die eens U ken nie. Wat in die verkeerde paie loop. Sê ons vandag, maak hulle oë oop, Hemelse Vader. Ons bid vir hulle vandag, dat hulle ook kan oopgaan, dat hulle Christelike en hulle geestelike ore ook oop kan gaan en hulle oë, sodat hulle kan sien en hoor wanneer U praat. Laat hulle ook nie in die voetstappe gaan val van Amalek, wat gaan ver weg beweeg van U af nie, en nie weens kan terug kan kom, om reg te kan kom maak. Dankie, Hemelse Vader, lei ons in hierdie week, en wees met ons en seën ons, Hemelse Vader, soos ons onkom en soos ons uitgaan, seën ons. Vandag maak ons vas hier, want U sê vir ons, as ons vas maak hier op aarde, gaan Jy vas maak vir ons daarboe. Ons maak vas hier op die aarde, dat hier kan vrede kan is, dat hierdie wat bekleim in die kerk, sy harde ook kan reg kan kom. Ons bid ook vir ons, maak vas, Hemelse Vader, sodat U vir ons kan ook vas maak in die hemel. En ons staan vandag in die plekkie van ons vriende, ons staan in ons familielede wat nie U ken nie, hierdie wat nog nie teruggekom het na Jou toe nie, bid ons ook vir hulle dat U, as ons na hulle toe kom, laat hulle ore kan opgaan, dat hulle kan luister na ons, want baie dink, ons is nog steeds waar ons gewees het, min weet hulle dat ons ook al gedraai het, waar ons gewees het, ons dankie Hemelse Vader in ewigheid, amen en amen. Ja, this day today, I would like us to talk about the parable. There's one in specific that we are going to talk about. The one that we find in Matthew. In Matthew, I think it's Matthew 13. The parable of the mustard seed. That we should really, I would really like us to read about it. It's Matthew 13. And it's there from 31. Yeah. It's Matthew 13 from 31. There we're going to read about the mustard seed. I would first like to read it unto you and later on explain. Ons gaan lees van die verleking van die mustard saadjie. En dan sal ek nou, jy weet, in dit ingaan en nou bewys, vir jou wees, hoekom het Christus. Maar kom ons kyk eens. Wie is die Christus? Jesus Christus by ons nie. Kom ons gaan gou eers Johannes toe nie. Let us first go to Johannes nie. John 16, John 3 verse 16. Yeah, John 3 verse 16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Ons gaan gou daar by Johannes. Ons moet nou daar in Johannes 3. Johannes 3. Daar vanaf 16. Ons kyk net gou daar. Wat sê vir ons? God het die wereld so lief gehad dat Hy sy enigste seun gegee het, sodat die wat in Hom glo nie verlore sal gaan nie, maar die ewige lewe het. Amen. So, die is die persoon wat ons nou vandag gaan praat, nie? Ons sien, die is die geskenk wat God vir ons gegee het. Sy seun, wat Hy vir ons gegee het. Weet jy, elke jaar, as het so December maand kom, raak die 25ste, dan is alman wat nou presente kry, alman wat nou wat se goeders en wat, en jy weet, tot die duivel is ook, by daardie dag is hy ook daar. Want soos ons ook hier preek, hy is maar hier tussen ons. So kom ons kyk, wie is Jesus Christus? As die Seun van God, wat hy gestuur het, wat hy geskenk gegee het vir ons, sodat ons hom kan gebruik. Hy het op aarde gekom om vir ons te kom dien. Nee, ons dien die Vader, soos hy sê, ons is sy broers. Nee, hy sê, omdat ons ken die dinge van die Vader, so maak het ons broers in die Vader in. Dit is nou Jesus Christus, yes my brother. We have read John 3, verse 16, that said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Die is nou wat ons praat. Ons praat van hierdie man. We are talking about this person, Jesus Christ. Now, when you know you have been given a gift by someone, you'll always go out and boast about this gift. If someone comes to buy you a car, or someone buy you maybe like a big toy, you know, even kids as well, they will go and tell their friends, you know, my dad bought me a bicycle. Yeah, my pad for me a bicycle gebring. My pad for me a geskenk gegee op Kersfees. Ek het a fiets gekry en my pa het vir my, or my ma het vir my a bal gekoop. And all those things, nee. Meisies gaan praat van hulle poppies, hulle dollyhuisies, wat hulle gekry het van hulle se mamas af, or van hulle papas af. Dit is wat ons moet doen van Christus. Dit is wat ons moet doen van Jesus Christus. Jy weet nie, op soveel verskeie tye het hy gepraat. Nee, maar ek wil ons moet so graag daar in Matteus 13. Moet ons gou lees daar. Kom ons lees hom eers, nee. Matteus 13 vanaf versie 33. Hy sê vir ons hier, hy het nog 'n gelykenis aan hulle voorgehou en gesê, die koninkryk van die hemel is soos 'n mosterd saadjie wat iemand gevat en in sy land geplant het. Dit is die kleinste van al die soorte saad, maar as dit uitgeroei het, dit groter as die 10 plante en word dit 'n boom, sodat die voëls in sy takke kom nes maak. Amen. Ja, ons gaan net daar lees. Hoor. Luister wat sê hy nie. Hy sê, die mosterd saadjie is die kleinste saadjie wat daar is. Nou kom ons kyk, hoe kyk ons nou hierdie les nou, ne? En met die ene wat ons voorheen gehad het. Hierdie is die seun wat Jesus, God gestuur het vir ons wie Jesus is. Hy het hom vir ons gegee as 'n geskenk, sodat hy kan ons wat glo in hom ewige lewe sal hê, nê? Right. Nou kom ons kyk wat sê hy met die mosterd saadjie. Hy sê die tuinier stuur die saad op aarde. En wanneer jy dit gaan plant, sal dit 'n groot boom word. Nou kom ons kyk, hoe kom Jesus Christus, hoe wys hy vir ons die, want jy weet die vergelykings wat hy maak nie, 'n vergelyking wat hy maak, is altyd iets wat hy vir jou uitgee. Jy moet kan iets uitvind daar binne. Hy bevestig homself in hierdie klein storiekies. Nou kom ons kyk, hoe bevestig hy hom daar? Jesus Christus was omtrent 34 jaar oud toe hy sterwe, nee. En as jy gaan beginne kyk, ons kyk mos altyd in ons menslike lewe. As jy gaan kyk, meeste in die Bybel, gaan jy sien, mense het al gesterwe, dan is hulle 900 jaar oud. Jy weet, amper 1600 jaar. Mense het gesterwe op, ons kom nie eens op die helfte van hierdie jare wat hulle gelewe het. Jy weet, as jy nou kyk vandag, nie, het ons iemand begrawe, 'n kleinkind wat nog nie eens gebore was nie. Die kind is nog nie gebore. Hy is nog nie eens 'n dag oud nie. Hy is al klaar in sy ma se bar, die kind gesterwe. Maar as jy gaan kyk na die manne wat hy jare gelewe het. As jy kyk na Abraham, hulle 80 kry hulle kinders en dan leef hulle nog baie jare. En dinge het nou so gedraai. Maar minste kom ons kyk nou, wat sê hierdie vergelyking vir ons? Kom ons kyk. Jesus Christus is 'n geskenk wat die Vader vir ons gegee het. Right. Hier is Jesus Christus. Hy het gelewe tot hy 34 oud was en toe hy gesterwe. Maar as jy gaan kyk, wat het hy gemaak voor daai? Kom ons kyk, die ma, hulle sê die morste saadjie is die kleinste saad op die aarde. In die Bybel as jy gaan kyk, Jesus Christus se lewe ter vergelyking met al hierdie ander manne wat al gelewe het, vir my is hy die kleinste wat gesterwe het op daardie oomblik. En as jy gaan kyk, hy begin Bybel, toe sy 12 jaar oud, toe sit hy al reeds in die kerk en toe begin hy sit en vra, mense vra, hy het hom vra gevra en hy het mense geleer op daardie ouderdom. 12 is klein. 34 om te sterwe is baie klein in die Bybel. So hy is die kleinste saad. So as jy dit gaan kyk, Christus is die mosterd seed. Wat ons nou vandag praat, die vergelyking wat hy maak, maak hy van homself. Maak hy van homself. As hy sê, hierdie klein saad is, as jy hom in die grond in sit, en as hy daai kom groei, uit hy ten het, en dan word het 'n groot boom. Nee. En as jy gaan kyk, wat hy alles al gedoen het, hierdie selde Christus, hierdie klein, oukie, wat ons nou sê, hy is klein, hy teen 12 jaar, het hy beginne, hy het 34, het hy gesterwe, baie klein, as jy gaan kyk, met die manne wat gelewer het in daardie tye, hoe lank het hulle gelewe. En in die wat hy so klein gewees het, in die wat die mosterd seed klein is, wat se impak het hy op die aarde gedoen? Die aarde is die tuin. Is die tuin. Christus is hier geplant. So klein soos hy daar was. Hy het die gedwaal tussen ons. Hy het vlees geword. Hy was nie weer gees nie, hy het nou vlees geword. En hier tussen ons het hy tussen ons beweeg en ons het hom gevoel. As jy ook gaan kyk dan 1 Johannes, sê vir ons dat die gees, die woord, het vlees geword. Vlees geword. En hy het hier tussen ons gedwaal. En ons het hom gevang. Ons het hom gehoor, het gepraat, het geleer, het gewys. Het alles gedoen, ons het goed gesien wat niemand al ooit al gedoen het. Kom ons kyk, die vrou met die bloed story. Toe die vrou met die bloed na hom toe gekom het, het sy hom gevang, jy weet net die soem van sy jas het sy gevang. En na sy dit gedoen het, het sy gesond geraak. Nee, as jy gaan kyk wat maak die mos dit sien, binnen in die tent. Nee, hulle sê, die woord sê, hy word 'n groot boom. En die voels kom bou nesse op sy dak. En jy weet wat gebeur, daar kom ook al mense, hulle kom sit onder die boom. En wat kan jy nog uit die boom uit kry? As jy mooi gaan kyk nie, na 'n boom, wat gee 'n boom ons eintlik? Dit gee ons lewe. Want as ons nie die smoke kan kry wat van die boom afkom nie, hulle roep het in Engels die carbon monoxide, nie. As ons nie dit gaan kry nie, dan gaan ons nie lewe nie. Want dit gee vir ons suurstof wat daar uitkom van die boom af. Die bome gee ons suurstof. Dis hoekom baie mense word gevang as hulle sekerlike bome kap. Want jy weet, ons moet bome het. Want dit gee vir ons suurstof. Dit bring vir ons die suurstof wat ons elke tyd hierso asemhaal en uitdal en wat se goed. So maar, kom ons kyk. As Christus sê, die mosterd seed, die mosterd saad, die mosterd saadjie, wat ons in Engels roep die mosterd seed, nee. So, hierdie saadjie vergelyk hy vir hom soos dit, omdat hy klein was. Hy het nie lang kom lewe op aarde nie. Dat die mosterd seed saadjie klein is, so sien ons vir hom ook klein. En uit hierdie uit, maak hy 'n groot impak op die aarde. Wat die tuin is, want die Bybel sê vir ons, as jy hom plant en wanneer hy groot word, in die tuin. Nee, Christus het so baie goed gedoen in die tuin. Hy het 5000 mense kos gegee. Hy het broodjie met die 2 visse, het hy gedeel tussen hierdie klomp mense, het almal geëet. En het mense gesond gemaak, en hy het geloop, hy het van Lazarus uit die dood uit laat opstaan, en jy weet, mense wat die kon loop, het die reggemaak dat hulle kan loop, mense wat, jy weet, gevang gewees het van hierdie demoniese geese, het hy hulle uitgejaag. Dit is wat hierdie boom doen. Dit is wat die boom doen hier op die aarde, wat teen is. En so sien ons die impak wat Jesus Christus het op ons lewe. Dit is die impak wat die boom het. Soos die voëlse hulle nesse gaan bou daar, so kom ons. En dan kry ons ook van hom af. En kyk die liefde wat hy vir ons gee. So kom ons kyk regtig, my broer, my suster. Yes, the mustard seed is like Jesus Christ. The life of Jesus Christ was not like Abraham, was not like Moses. You know, those guys lived long years. But Jesus Christ only lived for 34 years on earth. And after his resurrection, he left. But the impact that he has, the little that he was, the mustard seed that Jesus Christ is, that was placed on earth, the mustard seed in the garden. And then from that mustard seed, that tree will grow, whereby all the birds will come and build their nests there. It's like us. Here is Jesus Christ at the age of 34. At the age when he was born, he was already starting to give his ministry at the age of 12. Sorry. And when he went on, teaching, he made a huge impact on earth, which is the garden, whereby the mustard seed has grown. And this mustard seed has become a tree. Jesus Christ was also born. He was placed here on earth, which is the garden. And as a mustard seed, as it was small then, and when he grew, he already had an impact. And all of us came to him, whereby we all built our nests on his branches. My brother, my sister, this is the very same Jesus Christ that was given unto us as a gift by the Father. That's how he showed his love for us. He sent his only begotten Son to come and die for us on the cross, to save us sinners from all our iniquities, from all the things that we have done. Remember, there are so many things that you have done. You know, sometimes when you preach there and people see you preaching, they are amazed and ask themselves, wow, can it be? Yes, it can be. You know, sometimes we have been given names here on earth. We have been given titles here on earth. You know, you might be doing good, you might be doing bad, but titles you will be given. You know, you'll be called a thief. You'll be called a good Samaritan. You'll be called everything. There are so many names that we have been given here on earth. And yet, Christ knows that this one I'm going to use in this area. This one I'm going to use there. And people are amazed to see that God can use scraps. Because some of them, they call you scraps. They call you the forgotten one. No, he was, he is no more. But God, when he picks you up, when that name is in you, Jesus Christ, when that name is in you, that mustard seed, when that mustard seed is in, that mustard seed will grow into a big tree. And you'll have the opportunity to go and build your nest on top of that tree, which is Jesus Christ. You know, parables are there to reveal something unto you. The allegories are long stories. Parables are short stories where God reveals himself or something to you. And now if you look at the allegories, allegories are very long stories, like the prodigal son. What in an allegory, you learn something. You grow. From where you are, you grow. It's like the prodigal son. When you read the prodigal son who came to his father and said, look here, father, before you die, I want all my inheritance, and I want to go. I don't want to live here in your house anymore. I'm going out. What is there that we must learn? There are a lot of things that we must learn from that story, whereby you need to grow. And on his way, where he was, he squashed everything, he ate everything, he was busy with prostitutes and all those things. What lesson did you learn there? And then from there, the life, after the nice life that he had, now the bad life that comes in now. I know most of the time we say that when you are partying and everything, you hear people tell you that, oh, life is good. But after that life is good, what happened? The prodigal son. That's a long story. Né? But if you see the return of this person back to his father, forgiveness was there. You know, sometimes I normally tell people that we should stop praying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And then when we come to the forgiving part, most of us, we should keep quiet because we don't follow that part. We want his kingdom to come down here on earth. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. How is the kingdom of heaven? If you are doing something that is not in heaven, then that means the kingdom of God is not here with you. But if you call the kingdom of heaven to come down and be here, then that means you must follow what the book says we must do. This book has got everything inside that we must do. That's why last I called it the navigator. You know, everything that you need, you go and read there, you'll find it. If someone asks you something and you can't answer that person, go to the Bible. Go and read the Bible. What does the Bible say? What must you do? When you find someone in trouble, what does the Bible say you must do? The Good Samaritan is there. It can give you an answer. You know, there are so many stories that are in the Bible that we must read the Word of God and follow every word that the Bible says we must do. My brother, my sister, the mustard seed. It's a parable that Jesus Christ is revealing himself unto us. As small as he was, because there were big people, there were people who were older than him, that he was teaching. It's that mustard seed. He left at the age of 34. He was still young. We regard you, or here on earth, when you are 34, we still regard you as very young. We still regard you as a youth. And now let me ask you this. If you look at Jesus Christ, if you look at this mustard seed, if you look at the impact that that mustard seed has, who are you going to follow now, my brother? My brother, my sister, be faithful. Be faithful today. We are Christians. We are in church. We preach every Sunday. Sometimes you listen every Sunday and you go out. What are you when you go out? Sometimes when trouble befalls you, how are you? What are you? Yeah, what is it? As in net in die kerk het kom. As jy in die kerk het kom, wat is jy? Luister wat sê, hey, hy sê soos 'n mosterd saadjie. So klein soos hy daar is, die impak wat hy het op aarde is baie groot. En as jy mooi gaan sit en kyk na hom regtig, as jy kyk na die vrou met die bloedprobleem, as jy kyk na die seentjie wat gesterwe het, en toe sy pa kom en gesê, toe sy loop en jou seun is slag gesond. Die man wat gesit het daar by Bethesda, wat nie kon in die water ingaan nie, wat so klim stories gehad het toe hy daar kom. En as jy kyk ook na Petrus, toe hy loop op die water, waar is jou fokus vandag? As hy op die mosterd saadjie, waar is jou fokus vandag? Waar loop jy vandag, my broer? Kom ons mis nie hierdie mosterd saadjie nie. Want jy weet, hy is baie klein. En goed, wat baie klein is, kyk ons maar altyd neer na dit. Nee? En jy moet ook nie vergeet nie, wat het hy gesê van die kinderse. Hy het gesê, los die kinderse, laat hulle na my kom, want die koninkryk behoort aan hulle wat so is. En baie kere in die kerke, los ons die kinderse. Dis hoekom die duivel nou en daar met kinders besig is. Die duivel is nie, hy gee nie weer om van jou een groot mens nie. As jy ons wil moet sê, as jy 21 is, dan wil ons jou in die kerk intrek. Dan hardloop ons nou achter jou, hoe die kind gaan nou dwelms gebruik en daar die goed. Hulle begin al reeds op die ouderdom van 7. Hulle begin al reeds op die ouderdom van 12. Hulle begin 'n 16-jarige groot kind, het een kind doodgesteek op die skool se premises. En vandag sit ons en wag tot hulle 21 word, voor ons hulle in die deur van die kerk laat kom, voor ons hulle die woord van God leer. Ons leer nie wie ons kinders nie. Kom ons gaan terug, kom ons gaan terug. Waar God vir ons sê, hy is die Vader, die Seun en die Heilige Gees. En waar is jy man, vrou en die kinders? Laat ons kerk toe kom. Die Heer het families opgebouw. Toe hy vir Adam en Eva by mekaar gesit het, het hy vir hulle gesê, gaan en word julle meer. En baie mense mis dit. Hulle verstaan nie. Ons, jy weet, op aarde draai ons alles oor. Soek eers die koninkryk van die Here en al hierdie ander goed sal op jou gegooi word. Dit is in Matteus. Dit is in Matteus. Die woord van die Here sê, soek eers die koninkryk van die Here. Nee, ons soek nie die koninkryk van. Ons soek alles wat hy vir ons sê, ons sal kry. Soek eers die koninkryk van God en alles sal aan jou gegee word. Ons soek eers die alles en dan gaan ons die koninkryk van die Here soek. Ons wil kom kerk toe wanneer ons geld het. Ons wil kerk toe kom wanneer ons mooi klere aan het. Ons wil kerk toe kom wanneer ons 'n groot huis het. En jy weet, ek het my nou die dag gevra. Maar in hierdie geval wat ons sit en kyk altyd, dat sê ons, weet jy, ek wil geseën word van die Here. Ek wil die Here moet my seën, maar as jy gaan kyk die dag toe hy loop, toe hy terugkeer op die Pentekosdag, toe die wolk hom kom vat, het hy aanhou vir hulle geseën. Hy het vir hulle geseën. Met wat het hy vir hulle gegee? Maar daardie manne toe hulle wegbeweeg van daar af. Nie een van hulle te kar gehad nie. Nie een van hulle te vliegtuig gehad nie. Nie een van hulle te huis gehad om in te slaap nie. Maar hy het vir hulle gesê, gaan na daardie huis toe. Daardie mens gaan vir jou sorg. En alles wat hulle vir jou gee, eet. Gaan na daardie huis toe. As hulle nie soek daar nie, gaan daar by die voorwee. Stop jou stof, voetjies af en dust jou voetjies af en die stof af en loop. Amen. My broers, my sisters, laat hierdie les vandag vir ons. Die gelykenis wat God vandag maak met die mosterd saadjie. Laat ons dit vandag vat en weet dat dit Christus is wat ons van praat. Laat ons nie gaan loop en oor ons voete val nie. Laat ons hierdie mosterd saadjie vandag vat en hom gebruik. Dit is 'n geskenk wat die Vader vir ons gegee het. En laat ons loop en die mense vertel van hierdie geskenk. Amen en amen. Kom ons bid. Father, we thank you. We honor, we glorify you. We thank you, Father God, for revealing the mustard seed upon us. And revealing who you are, Jesus Christ, through the mustard seed. We thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. We pray that you reveal more unto us through parables that you have said unto us in the books. New Gospels, Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. We pray, Father God, that you reveal more and more unto us so that we can give unto the ones that you have put under us to serve and to give your word to. Father God, we glorify you. We honor your name, Father. Thank you, Father. Let this word remain in our hearts. Let this word be on a fertile soil today. I pray that everyone who have come to listen today, let this word sink into their hearts, Father. Let them be fertile soil in the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus. I pray and I thank you. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.